Okay, nothing like a little outrage to get the blood flowing. And the innovation, you know, here we are in this innovation boom town. Let's bring a little bit of that innovation into the economic sphere and design some mechanisms for moving that power into the organized hands of farmers and eaters. So I came to meet with some urban farmers here in Oakland, talking with them about what's going on in their little scene, which is really different, you know, although the same is different from the rural ag scene. I'm not doing this right. Yes, I did. And these are people who are, many of them, motivated by the same issues as those of us in the rural domain, but who have the added difficulty of broken glass on top of their land and a bunch of trash on top of their land. And then once they've cleaned off the broken glass and cleaned off the trash and have built the beds and built the soil and put down the landscape cloth to prevent the heavy metals from coming up through the roots of their beets, then after all that, they found themselves the victims or the being pimped out, I guess, by developers who were trying to displace the communities who were in that neighborhood that they were serving with their farm, with their food, and in whose service they were working. And so there's a real radicalization that is very, very strongly felt in this community. And of course, this history of displacement is a lurking wolf in the history of agriculture. I am of European ancestry, and my European ancestors were hustled off their land in the Scottish clearances. Those who were indigenous to this place were hustled off their land. Those who were farming and laboring in the fields, many of them were hustled off their land by our NAFTA and World Trade Organization dumping of corn into Mexico and Latin America. Obviously, everyone here who is of African descent was hustled off their land to play a part of a plantation agricultural system. So these are familiar patterns. And you know, you can really set your teeth against it if you want. And in that space of grrr, has come some really interesting, bold policy innovation. And so here in San Francisco, a very interesting piece of legislation emerged to protect farmers who had claimed land into agriculture. Vacant land that in other places cities have allowed to become bundled into land trusts, especially in Ohio, as you were mentioning. That's in Ohio, the Urban Land Trust. And here you have the Urban Williamson Act, which went into law last year. And so that was one of the focal areas that Doria Robinson was going to make mention of in her discussion of what's bubbling up in Richmond and other places. She's the director of Urban Tilth and an amazing woman. Thank you for joining us. All you, Doria.
No pictures. No pictures tonight. I usually like to travel with all the images from Urban Tilth, which are pretty moving and powerful. But tonight I'm just going to talk. And the first thing I wanted to say was, it's kind of a profound experience for somebody like me who grew up in Richmond, California. I'm a third generation Richmond resident, to come to UC Berkeley and have our mayor on stage saying something sane and just feel like just so proud, like, you know, yeah, you know, I'm from Richmond. And, you know, I just so many years of that not even being close to possible. Really proud of what's been happening in Richmond for the last 10 years. It's been a coalition of just, you know, mind-blowing visionaries who I was speaking to someone else in the house here tonight from Richmond, from Building Boss for Kids, and we were like, you know, we've got 24 projects and there's 30 days in a month, so hey, let's do it. I am excited to talk tonight because this is a symposium about agriculture. And I'm not a farmer. And I live in a city. And and I think I have something for you, for those of you looking for some solutions. I think that when our mayor presents this really different use of eminent domain, it's because we're saying this is a tool. And you can use it for good and you can use it for evil. How can we use the tools that we have at hand to make the changes that we need? I'm here to ask you to consider urban agriculture to be a tool. There are millions of eaters in cities. Millions of people who must eat every day, and most of them have no idea what it takes to grow that food. No idea. We run a classroom, a year-round class called Urban Agriculture and American Food Systems. Actually, Adam Boisvert, the teacher for that class, is in the hall tonight. 40 kids, a year class, is an actual elective in Richmond High School, where kids learn everything from how to grow food. They run a CSA, a nursery, a garden, two gardens on the side of the football field. They grow food, they distribute that food to parents who sign up for a CSA, but more importantly, they learn about industrial agriculture. They learn about the Green Revolution. They learn about the difference between a family farm and what we have today on a global scale. And they can ask some hard questions when they walk into Foodco and buy that whatever it is for some obscenely small price. How did this happen? Why is an apple from Argentina cheaper than an apple from Washington when we're in California? They actually can get equipped through this program to make connections. And I think that that is one of the roles of urban agriculture that we don't really value as much as maybe we should. When we're asking these really amazingly important questions around what's happening globally, things that Ana Ruda talked about earlier, we need people to not only know that those things are happening, but they need to care. They need to care. They need to know how they're implicated, how we're complacent, how we're complicit. And the only way you're going to do that is to first reconnect them with food. Food has to be something more than something that comes in a package that you open, you know, made of some commodity. It has to be more than calories. There needs to be a thought, just like around houses, that it's not just an economic exchange, that there's something around being human that we need to talk about here. You know, that having a shelter is a human right, and that we need to have tools within our societies, you know, nationally, local, globally, to maintain that right. And the same is true around food, and the same is true around arable land. We must eat, we're animals. And there needs to be an understanding of land as something more than the dirt that you wash off your pants. So I am just so excited to kind of rethink the work that we're doing. We have 13 different school and community gardens that we run throughout Richmond. Those 13 different school and community gardens are run by 17 mostly formerly Richmond youth who we've trained over the last 8 years to actually run those programs. We're an organization that's 100% run by the residents who live in and around the gardens and farms that we run. Using even the nonprofit model as a tool for employment and education of ourselves, and then empowerment so that we actually have the means to create our own food security is something else that we have to share. Usually the model is that nonprofits form, and then, you know, 60-70% of the money that's donated to a cause goes to the staffing of that nonprofit entity. If that money is directed to one particular location in particular, then 60-70% of the money isn't going to that location or that cause, but it's going to pay the people that do that work, and that money actually physically just goes wherever those people live. and get sunk into those economies. So by thinking and actually incorporating into all of our classes that we teach at, you know, five different schools, including two high schools, a systems thinking, a systems analysis of inputs and outputs, and, you know, where are we trying to go? What fuel do we have to make it happen? And how can we, you know, direct ourselves so that our systems are actually running the way we want by actually introducing those types of ideas to the communities that we're working with, using agriculture, using growing things as the kind of running metaphor, we've been able to really make some powerful change within our community. And it gets to the point where we can stand up and actually look at ourselves differently. So most people know Richmond as the city that's in the shadow of Chevron. You know, company town. And it's true. But it's also true that a huge portion of Richmond residents, like my grandparents, are ex-farmers. My grandparents moved from Louisiana to Richmond in the 40s. They were pushed off of their land, off of their farms, to try to look for work in the city or close to the city. And it's not unusual. A huge portion of the African-American population has the same story. And we actually have this agricultural history sitting, you know, within ourselves, within this collective memory, that's totally untapped. We kind of forget about it for a while. And then there's this huge Latino community in Richmond, you know, who are coming from being ex-farm workers or being farmers in Central America or in Mexico, in Richmond, with all kinds of histories, with cooperatives and other kinds of things, who kind of have a moment of forgetting as we try to rush after this American dream, you know? And then we have a moment of reflection, or a 10-year moment of reflection, where we start asking these questions. And we actually find out when we look at ourselves, and don't look at ourselves from the outside, somebody telling us who we are, but look at ourselves from our histories and say, hey, wait a minute. All of these things that we're talking about globally isn't some person over there. When they're talking about what's happening with corn in Mexico, people on my staff are like, yes, you know? My family were farmers in Mexico, and we couldn't sustain. You know, we couldn't sustain. This is us. So, I just get really excited. I get really excited about the potential of making these connections, the potential of using a place like Richmond to try things out, to try out models. You know, what can we do with eminent domain? Richmond has tons of vacant lots. What can we do with the Brentwood Agricultural Land Trust, a fabulous organization, and Kathleen and Dan is in the audience tonight, working with rural farmers in Brentwood, which is a kind of rural Contra Costa County. You know, how can we connect our eaters with her farmers who are under the pressure of sprawl? Because we know as urban agriculturalists that we're hoping to produce 5% of our own food. That's Urban Till's mission. And that other 95%, you know, some whatever percentage of that is fruits and vegetables, especially if we can get people to eat more fruits and vegetables, need to come from somewhere. And right now, those Brentwood farmers are selling their stuff globally. Why can't we make a connection? Why can't we support them? Why can't we have closer connections, have farm days, create these CSAs so that we can go and hear that this farmer is under pressure from that shopping mall? And then we say, well, hey, wait a minute, that's our county, and that's something that we can vote on. So, like I said, I just get very excited that we have some models that we can share. One of the things that we did in Richmond was actually work with the city mayor's office, as well as the city manager's office. We Richmond has another tool that really helps us reserve resources as well, you know, including land, for things that promote health and wellness. The tool is in our general plan. We have a health and wellness element. So every single thing in our new general plan must also address health and wellness. it's a radical thing. They've been going all over the country talking to other cities about putting this into their general plan, because it makes every development decision, every planning decision have to meet a health and wellness standard. And so you can get things like having urban agriculture or reserving blighted or empty lots as a, you know, transforming that into community gardens and reserving that, you know, in perpetuity as actually a priority of the city because it's in the general plan. Fabulous tool. You can actually deal with whoever gets elected into office, whatever their politics may be, because you can say, but it's in the general plan, which is great, a tool. So one of the things that the mayor's office did was actually catalog all the land owned by the city that wasn't currently being used, and starting through a process of trying to see what portion of that land might be able to be used for growing food. That's awesome. What if all cities did that? And then they went further and they said, okay, we're going to make an adopt-the-spot ordinance that gives people free access to this underused, unused land for enough time that they can actually have real agricultural cycles so they can create urban gardens. And we're going to make agreements that we can't push people off of that land without having a term that is also supportive of agricultural cycles. Because it's about health and wellness, right? And if people are trying to improve their food security by growing their own food, because food is really expensive and they want high quality food, they want to support them with that, with this resource that we have. Tools. One of the other things that we've been able to do is a similar thing with the county. Contra Costa County Supervisor John Joya came to Urban Tilth recently saying, you know, we have a lot of vacant land in Richmond. Would you like some of it to farm? It's so important who you elect. It's so important. He's like, you know, so we've got this 3-acre spot for us urban ag folks. 3 acres is a lot of land. We'd like to give it to you for a long-term lease. How can we work this with you? And we'd like to change the general plan to, you know, accommodate urban agriculture. And we'd like to use park development funds to develop the property so that we can make sure that it gets held. So important who you elect. So important. A tool. If you have someone who understands how such a space positioned in one of the hardest hit parts of the city, North Richmond, a urban farm where people can go and reconnect to the land, get connected to all kinds of ideas and people and everything. If you have someone in a place of power who can look at the resources that you have and decide that this is something good for the community and allocate that resource for a community good and allocate resources to support that and the proper leases and whatnot, what phenomenal change can you make? And again, it's just so important to underscore for me the role of urban agriculture. Yes, we are able to grow some food for ourselves, so if everything, you know, hit the fan, we wouldn't be totally down and out. There'd be something that we could have for ourselves, and we can eat it, and we can grow, and we can, you know, kind of sustain. And yes, it brings us together as communities, making our communities less violent, opening up conversations between people who may never speak to each other. I had, you know, amazing conversations with survivors of the El Salvadorian War over garden beds in the middle of the Iron Triangle, conversations we just would have never had before. And yes, it also reconnects people with the amazing amount of energy and expertise it takes to steward land. And as city dwellers, we forget that. And so when people stand up and say, you know, there's land grabs in Africa, and there's, you know, farmers going out of business, and, you know, there's industrial farming, everybody's like, yada, 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 you know, because they don't understand. They don't understand what it takes to grow an apple.
how many years of investment. They don't understand that you should be growing soil. They don't understand what soil is. It's still dirt, like I said, that you wash off your pants. And so that critical role of bringing it to life this necessary part of being human, this growing of food and consuming food, is a powerful role that urban agriculture plays. And, you know, towns like Richmond, towns like Oakland, towns like San Francisco, and other towns across the nation are kind of spearheading techniques, tools, so that we can retain land for growing food, because it's more important than an economic exchange. And that's really revolutionary. So I just wanted to offer that up tonight, and hopefully it's helpful as this conversation moves forward into tomorrow. And just say that I am really excited to stand with farmers in rural communities and global farmers and become more educated and learn how I can use the power, the little power I have in this little town of Richmond, to try to help to make the global change that we all need. Thank you.